Good morning.
Good morning.
You ever get lost in YouTube? It happens to me quite often, if I'm going to be honest with you. You watch one video, another recommendation comes up, and suddenly 3 hours go by, and you wonder where your child is and where your wife is, and you don't even really know where you are. So that happens quite a bit. One thing that I like to watch a lot of on YouTube. Hey, can I get the mic up just a little bit? One thing that I enjoy to watch is a lot of sporting videos. I love to watch, perfect, thank you so much. I love to watch videos where people who are playing sports make mistakes. I don't know what that is, maybe I'm cruel. I think it just helps me to feel better about myself, you know what I mean? But anyway, I stumbled across one. April 30th, 1990, the New York Mets were playing the Atlanta Braves. And there's two outs, and there's runners on first and third. And David Cohn, I don't know if you remember him, was on the mound for the Mets pitching. And Mark Lemke stood at the plate for the Braves. And Lemke hits a ground ball between first and second. And so Cohn, the pitcher, has to run over to cover first base. And the throw is there in time, and the catch is made, and the umpire calls the runner safe and starts to say that David Cohn's foot wasn't on the bag, right? And so David runs over to the referee. I wrote his name down. Let me see. The referee was Charlie Williams, the umpire, excuse me. Charlie Williams, some of y'all are like, hey, come on now. Charlie Williams was there, and he starts to say, your foot wasn't on the bag, and David's hot. Now, if you've ever seen baseball, when you get angry, what do? I don't get it is a thing, though, right? You run about this close to their face, pray they have a breath mint, and you begin this argument. Well, David's doing this, but the thing was, it wasn't a foul ball. It wasn't a strikeout. The play's live. David Cohn's got the ball in his hand, and he's over here giving Charlie what for, and Charlie, the umpire, is just like, okay, you know, and is having a conversation with him. And so the whole time, base runners go on, and the Braves score two runs, and the Mets end up losing the game because David decided to argue with the ref rather than play the game. Now, I told you, I watched that because it makes me feel a lot better about myself, but how often have you found that we can do the same thing, and stick with my metaphor, right, in the game of life, right, especially in our spiritual walk with Christ? How many times have we gotten so focused on one thing that other things were passing us by that we weren't even aware of? Much more important and much more valuable than the thing that we're engaged with in the moment. Can I get an amen if you've ever been there? Yeah. I'm not going to say give me an amen if your spouse has ever been there or the one sitting next to you. So don't look at them, right? You can think about them, just don't look at them. You know, as parents, I wonder how often we get so preoccupied with getting ahead financially or our careers or what we want that we often, how many parents have failed to invest in their kids because they were too busy focusing on something? And you've heard me say this statement before. I think a lot of times we struggle to invest in what's more urgent than what's most important. Right? We're so easy to interact with what seems to be right in our face that we ignore something off to the side. But hey, I can always finish this up and then get back to that. But what happens is after this is finished, another thing comes right back here. And so at what point in our life are we going to be able to say, I cannot do this even though it needs to be done right now because this is not as important as that, and it is time for me to invest in what matters for eternity? Now, I would love to say that this is just a people problem, but I've worked in the churches too long, right? Churches fall for this all the time. We're so easy to fall victim. If you've ever been a part of or had the blessing to be a part of an elders meeting, right? Which, by the way, we've had some great elders meetings here at this church, right? But every church, there's sometimes we get involved in some elders meetings. You ever been a part of a men's business meeting? Remember some of those? Right? Or a whole church meeting where you gather together to vote on something? I don't know if you've ever been a part of these things. They all exist, I'm telling you. I've had the pleasure to experience them all. Sometimes, believe it or not, even the most godly of people can lose their focus. And we can spend, yes, it's true, Ray, it's true. Yes. Sometimes we can lose our focus and begin to focus on something that's more urgent rather than something that's more important. And how real of a struggle is this for us, right? Like, it's so hard. It's easy to stand here and to hold a microphone and say, don't do it. But then when something has the urgency behind it, it's so hard to practice this out. Well, for David Cullen, it ended up costing him the game. And for us, what's it going to cost? What are we going to miss out on? What important things are we going to let slide through the cracks because we were too focused on something else, less important? And so here's what you have to understand. When we focus on one thing, we are blind to everything else that's going on. When you give something its full attention and full focus, you're going to miss everything else that's happening. When we choose to concentrate on one thing, something else is going to go unnoticed. I was reading about a story from a man who wrote about attending the funeral of King George of England. And the royalty of the world was in attendance. And so thousands come to the streets to see this once-in-a-lifetime procession pass by. And so they're coming not to just see King George pass by, right, and see that moment, but they're wanting to see all the kings and all the royalty that's going to be walking through this procession with them. And so it's a moment that you would never forget. And so one particular fellow was writing about it, and it says, as the cart came into view, the man said, two dogs began to growl and fight with one another on the sidewalk. And he said, as I turned to watch those two dogs fight, five kings passed by. You know, we make that same mistake so often, don't we? We turn to watch something that's going on in the moment and we give it our full attention while something much more valuable passes on by. And I wonder how many trivial things have held my attention while important things have passed by. You know, for a lot of us, we can get focused and stressed and overwhelmed by something that won't matter. As my dad used to say, a hill of beans in eternity. And let the most important of things go by. I don't want to miss an opportunity, do you? I don't want to miss the blessings of the Lord. I don't want to miss a miracle he may perform or something that he may do. I don't want to miss a door of opportunity that he may be opening because I'm too distracted on things he never wanted me to focus on in the first place. And so this morning I titled the lesson, Keep Your Head in the Game, because as I watched my YouTube video of this situation, you could hear in the background, you can go look this up on YouTube later, you can hear in the background some of his players saying, David, get your head in the game! And yet he was too distracted and he missed it, and I think sometimes we do too. So in order to keep our heads in the game, here's the most basic principle, right? We've got to make sure that we're focused on the right things, right? It's not rocket science. It's a rule of life, though, that every decision that includes also excludes. And so when you choose one path, you're automatically excluding another. And this is something I struggle with this. I'm preaching at myself. This is really an issue for me in my life. Because I'm a yes person. I love to say yes. I love to be able to, and listen, when you're in ministry and you've got as many ministries going on in a church like this as we do, there's a lot of opportunity. If you want to serve, there's a place for you, I promise. But so often it's so hard for me because I'll start saying yes, 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 yes. And what ends up happening is every yes means I'm saying no to something else. Or worse, every yes means that I'm going to give less to something else. And so at what point can I say no so that I can say yes to the best? It's something we all need to stop and think about. You know, back in the Depression days, I'm talking about days of Model Ts, you know, and no paved roads. You were forced to drive in these deeply rutted roads, right? And so once you got in a rut, it was said you couldn't get out very easily. And so it's where the phrase originally comes from, stuck in a rut. Right? I heard of a road sign from back in that time, and here's what it said. It said, choose your ruts carefully, because you'll be in them for the next 20 miles. You see, choosing one path means excluding another path. One decision allows you to really give your time and your energy and your focus and your effort into one project, but that same decision is saying, I cannot give the same energy and time and effort into another project. And so here's the deal. This is a simple sermon based on what we call priorities, right? And man, it's so easy to get them mixed up. And that's why 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul talks about our priorities. And he says a really awesome scripture. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so he's talking about focusing on the right things, focusing and paying attention to the eternal things of God, giving your attention to the things that will live forever. Colossians 3 and verse 1 says, set our minds on things above where Christ is. And so here's the question, where has your energy been this week? Where has your focus been? Are you proud of the things that you're giving your energy and effort to? Let me ask it another way. Is what you've been investing in something that will last for eternity? Or is what you've been investing in all week long been things that are only temporary? This is one of those lessons. It doesn't matter how good you are at doing this. We can always do better, right? There's always another step to take. So my goal is not for you to walk out of here feeling guilty about what you've missed out on. It's more about taking advantage of the opportunity to focus on those things today, to starting new now. And it's a moment we can all have together. So what I want to do is I want to talk about two things very quickly that we focus on that are often take away our attention from the things that are important. And the first one is money, right? Preachers, we call it materialism, but I really think it's simply just kind of the worship of things. It's the worship of stuff. When we put too much value in money, when we put too much value in things, it's really a form of idolatry. And so we've got to be careful to say, okay, having things is not bad, but my things can't have me. When we focus on things and ignore relationships, that's when we're in for real trouble. When a money opportunity takes advantage of a relationship opportunity consistently in your life, that's an issue. When you're missing out on family time, family devos, saying prayers with your family, you're gone for weeks at a time because, well, my job's forcing me to, maybe it's time to rethink your career because your money will not last an eternity. Here's the thing. This one gets us because it's hard. Our society has taught us growing up, and they're teaching our kids too, right? You've got to prepare for retirement. And it's true. I mean, you don't want somebody to walk into retirement with nothing, right? Like, that's a disaster waiting to happen. But at the same time, sometimes we can get so focused on a portion. I mean, how long of your life is retirement going to be? You don't have to answer that question. But I mean, it's a small portion of our life, right? And so the goal in our society is to spend this much of your life preparing for this much of your life. You ever thought about it that way? And so work harder, earn more money, go through misery now so that you can enjoy life later. But it's not 50-50 here, right? It just doesn't really add up. And Jesus talks about this a lot. Scripture as a whole does too. Let me back up before. Let me actually follow my notes. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. No, it is not wrong to have money. No, it's not wrong to retire. I'm not saying any of those things, but it's not wrong to have money. It's wrong for your money to have you. And you know some people who that describes them. And maybe that describes you. It's kind of like the guy that was driving his brand new BMW. I don't know if I ever told you about this story before. He just got this beautiful car and he's driving it, and he gets a flat tire, loses control and smashes into a tree and wrecks his new car. Ambulance shows up and he's sitting on the side of the road and he's saying, "Oh, my car, my car, my car." And paramedics say, "Yeah, sorry, your car is ruined, but sir, you've got some major issues here. You're missing your arm." And he looks down and sure enough, he's missing his arm, and he goes, "Oh no, my Rolex, my Rolex." It's bad. I know. But the point is, there's a lot of people who focus way too much on their stuff, right? It's the story, Jesus tells a story, and it's a parable. It's about this rich farmer, and it's in Luke chapter 12. Do you remember this story? And the guys had huge success. I mean, this man has a farm, and it's the biggest farm around. His fields were full. His barns were full. He had so much. And in the middle of all of his plans to expand his business and sit back and enjoy the profits, God comes to him in the text, and he says, "You fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you. And whose will all of these things be?" I can see God metaphorically in this parable just pointing to all the stuff behind him. And so, in other words, you're going to die tonight. And this guy wasn't ready, right? He had been so focused on his business, so focused on his money, that he forgot all about the Lord. And he had forgotten that he has an eternal soul that he's meant to invest in. And so in this parable, God tells him, just to top it all off, God looks at the man and he says, "And somebody else is going to enjoy all the stuff that you worked so hard for." It's like the worst case scenario for the guy. Not only am I not going to get to use my stuff, but it's going to go to somebody else that didn't work for it. It makes him rethink how he spent his life. I don't want that parable to be written about me. I don't want my life to come to the end and God says, "Hey, you've done a great job of storing up a bunch of stuff for yourself, but your soul's required of you, and I'm weak on the things that will last." It's easy to preach, it's harder to live, but here's how you do it. It's simple. You just make a decision and you do it. It's hard to do because our hearts have to, but it simply is a decision. It's a simple decision. I'm going to focus on the important. And so when somebody comes up to me, my mom used to say it like this. Now, my mom also worked in an emergency room situation. She loves the adrenaline rush. She's great in those moments where things go crazy, right? And I love that about her, but she used to have to tell people, I say she told people, she told me this. I don't know if she ever said it to other people or not. I don't want to throw her under the bus. "Your emergency is not my emergency." And I used to laugh at that. I'd be like, "Oh, that's good," right? But then as I keep growing up, I've thought about that phrase a lot in my life. It's an emergency for you, but oftentimes it may be an emergency because of your procrastination or a mistake that you've made or something going on in your life, but it's an emergency for you, but it can't be an emergency for me. Because I might spend the next 3 days focusing on that and miss out on what my family's doing here. It's pretty quiet in here. I think that's good. Let me move on. The other thing we focus on oftentimes, way too much, because when you focus on one thing, you're missing another thing going behind you, and the other thing that we focus on is ourselves. This generation is all about self-promoting. This generation is all about, I'm tired of it. I get some of it is the idea that, hey, you can do anything. When life gets you down, you just stand back up. You're strong enough. But what's happening is it's excluding anyone else from influencing your life. And it's saying it's all about you. If you don't want it that way, it doesn't have to be that way. If you don't want that to be true for you, it doesn't have to be true for you. If you don't want this, then it doesn't have to be this, because it's all about what you want, and nobody should be able to tell you anything different. And I'm tired of that message, because that nowhere is in Scripture. It's not the message Jesus preached. And then social media has just blown this thing up. right? It's all about how many likes I can get, how many follows I can get, how many views I can get, making sure that my picture is cropped and looks a little bit nicer than the other person's. And I'm just tired of all this because kids are growing up seeing us behave that way. And so what are they putting their value in? Yeah, it's kind of like I've seen it a couple of times, but there's one particular time, I heard this story. I just shifted stories. I was going to tell you about the time I was at a restaurant, but I'm going to change it because I just thought of one better. And I think maybe someone from here told me about this, but somebody said they went out to the pool. It was a public pool. And they were swimming, and they saw this girl, mother, with her daughter at the pool, and the daughter was all excited. Yay, I can go swimming, and I'm so excited to go swim, and let's go, woo. And mom says, well, hang on a second, I want to take a picture. And so she pulls out her phone, and she's, you know, gets all fixed up in front of the pool and takes a picture, and you see her post her little caption, and checking to see who's liking it, and then she goes and she sits on the bench, and her daughter goes and gets into the pool. And as she's there and, you know, sunbathing or whatever, she's taking more pictures of, you've seen the putting your legs in front of the pool, that's the big one, right? You know, legs in front of the water, feet in front of the water, I don't get it, but it's the thing, right? I've never seen so many feet in all my life when I scrolled through Facebook, but that's the thing now. And so she's over there, she's taking all these pictures, and her daughter's saying, hey, mom, can you come get in the pool? And she said, 1 second, I want to take another picture. You see where this is going, right? And then the daughter comes back and says, hey, can you come play with me in the pool? Hang on 1 second. Still on her phone, still on her phone, still on her phone. And finally, she says, well, come here. Let's take one more picture. And she takes it. And then she says, I'm sorry, sweetie. It's time for us to go. And she never takes the moment to put down the phone and get into the pool with her own daughter who's begging for her to just come play with her and spend some time with her. Man, I don't want that to be how I live my life. Do you? And here's what's crazy. Some of you are going to look on that same Facebook and see her post and be jealous of her situation and think, man, look how much fun she gets to have. And in reality, look at what she missed. She's focused on dogs fighting on the street and five kings passed by. That's her baby girl out there wanting a moment to remember forever, wanting a moment to play. Those moments don't last forever. We've got to be able to take advantage of the important and get away from the urgent. And that means not placing value on money, and it means not placing value on ourselves. But placing value in Christ. One Sunday afternoon in Rome, some admirers are coming to visit the local jail, and they're wanting to come and see the good old Apostle Paul and visit him, right? And they're frustrated, and they come into the jail, and they're talking to Paul, and they're agitated because there's this other guy who's saying some things about Paul, and they don't like it. They don't appreciate it. He's saying some rude stuff. And Paul's in jail. And so they're talking to him, and they're wanting to know, do we go out and tell this guy to stop it and shut him down? I mean, it'll probably cause a big ruckus, but we're willing to do that because you're our guy. And Paul responds to these people who love him and are trying to defend him. And he says this famous verse in Philippians 1 and verse 18. He says, what does it matter? The important thing, not the urgent thing, the important thing is that whether from false motives or true, Christ is being preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Paul is saying, I'm focused on something you're not focused on. Yeah, that may be bad. Yes, technically, it would probably be right to shut him down. You would be right in your stance. But I don't even think that argument's worth the time of day because there's something much greater that is being accomplished and people are believing in Jesus. And so whatever his motives are, one person is not equal to the 100 who are getting to know Christ. And I am thankful that he's being preached. And if I'm the one who's got to suffer, at least he's elevating Christ. And that's enough for me. Paul's an amazing guy. And he's got a good perspective. That's the kind of perspective that we need to have as well. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so my question to you is your head in the game? Where's your eyes been? What are your priorities? What do you think about? What do you dwell on? What do you spend your time doing, your energy, your blood, sweat, and tears? You can't do it all. And saying yes to something means saying no to something else. And so is your energy going to the relationships that will last and into the relationship with the Almighty? That's ultimately what will get you there. Think about it. The lesson's yours. If you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing.